of God. May these words and this music be a sweet aroma in your ear, God, as the whole congregation lifts our voices to you in praise. God, you are holy. You are holy. And just like we sang, the hopeless have found their hope. The orphans now have a home. All that was lost has found its place in you. God, it's you that lifts our weary head. It's you that makes us strong. You took our rags and made us beautiful. And for all that, God, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Check, check. Okay. You say, thank you, Lord. Welcome to Potter's Hands. Welcome to worship. It is good when we get together. The Bible says we should not forsake coming together. We should get together and enjoy the time and praise together. And there's a lot to be thankful for. You agree with that? Our worship is grounded in gratitude. And when you're grateful, when you think about all the things that God is doing, one of them is that I'm not alone. It really hit me, and I know it hit Marg when she was singing too. We're not alone. You know that's true. No matter what you're going through, maybe you feel like you're one of those orphans, or you feel like you're one of those hopeless. Well, you're not doing it alone. God's going through this with you. We have a great God. Amen? And if we're not here to worship him, I don't know what we're doing here. It's a nice day. We can go do something else. Right? We'll go to Bower Ponds and walk around the lake or whatever, but I'm here to worship God. I'm here to praise the Lord and give him all the glory because he sustains me. He holds me up. He walks alongside of me. I am not alone. No matter what trial I go through, God is with me. And he promises me, he promises you that he never is going to leave us, right? He's never going to forsake us. Can you say amen? Okay, so you came here today to worship God. Maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, what am I doing here? I'm going to give you the answer. The answer is, we're here to worship. We're here to give thanks. We're here to lift him up. We're here to be reminded that he's in control. Even when my life is a mess, God's in control. He's a good God. All right? In a few minutes, Darcy and Kirsten are going to be leading us in the message and in just sort of a teaching time. So we're looking forward to that. A couple things before that. First of all, I see Jerry and Gladys are here. Why don't you, Jerry... Woohoo! Amen. Just because Jerry's wearing that shirt doesn't mean he came from Hawaii. You were at the Penhold once, which is close. We are so glad that you are well. Weller, right? And that's been an answer to prayer. So let's just thank God for that. Thank you, Lord, for your hand that heals. Thank you, Lord, that you give strength in our weakness. Thank you for Gladys, that you are restoring her, that her lungs are getting better. Thank you for Jerry with the things that he struggles with in his immune system. God, you are a good God, and we want to acknowledge that today, and part of our worship today is just to say thank you for that and for bringing them back here today. Thank you, Lord. Amen? And then Wanda. Yeah, oh, come on up here. We've got to pray for you. Our dear Wanda is leaving for Calgary for a short period of time. But we don't know for sure. She's going there to help take care of a friend who's quite sick. We just want to know we love you, Wanda. I want to speak life into you. I see such growth in you. You are something else. You are doing so well. I've known you for a long, long time. And honestly, I think this is honest to say that you are doing better today than I've ever seen you doing. And I praise God for that, right?
Amen. All of you, and this place. Yep. Thank you so much, everybody. It's so nice to see Gladys here today.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So Crystal and Barb, would you come up and pray for Wanda, Crystal and Barb? We're just going to pray for you. God, you know, you're going to be kind of out of the hothouse, out of the greenhouse is a better word.
Standing room at the retreat, though.
Yeah, you're back. What I meant to say is this is kind of like a greenhouse, you know, and we grow together. The Once in a while, we leave. You know, and you got to be strong. The winds are going to blow. It's going to be not that easy. So
no, I know.
We're going to pray for you.
God, I just want to thank you for Wanda this morning, Lord. I just thank you for what you have done in her life and what you are going to do in her life. Lord, you have such great plans for her. I thank you for her. I thank you for her generous heart in the ways that she's helped so many people here in Red Deer, God. And I just pray that she may have a rest in Calgary a little bit, even though she's there to help other people. Lord, I pray, God, that you will just strengthen her and that you will continue to show yourself to her. Lord, she just is your daughter, and you love her. Help her to never forget that. So, God, I just lift her up today in Jesus' name.
And really, I don't know Wanda except for I see her in the swimming pool. We do laps together, and I always see her swimming hard. So, Lord, I just ask, God, that you would just bless this woman. God, that your hand would be upon her. Father, I pray, God, that she will fight the good fight of faith, God, that she will remember that she is a light in a dark place, and God, that you will continue, God, to strengthen her, and God, that your spirit will just lead her and guide her, and that she'll always know that this place is home when she needs to come back and say hello, and that we are her friends and her family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, you know, I hope you feel loved because we really love you. And good. We look forward to the day you're... Boy, there's a lot of tears today. That's good. I like that. That shows that something's real. So, I know. Died? Okay, but listen, you're not alone. Remember that. Okay. Amen. Amen? A couple other things before Darcy and Kirsten come up. Sorry about the bathrooms. We couldn't fix them before this weekend. We got to actually tear out the whole line. We got a collapsed line going out that way. So maybe you just shoot up a quick prayer for us tomorrow because we're going to try to do it ourselves. Otherwise, we've got to pay $9,000 or $10,000 to get it done. So if you have a shovel, come on out and help join the shoveling party. There you go. Doug's got a shovel. He's got one of those ones that do this. So just need a little prayer. That'd be good, you know, that we can get the line hooked up so we don't have to have porta potties all the time. So that's one thing to think about. And the other thing is just a reminder that this afternoon we're having a barbecue at Crystal and my place at our house. So we really hope you'll come. We're going to have hamburgers and hot dogs. And if you got a salad or some chips you can bring, we got some drinks. I think the drinks are provided. So come at 4 o'clock today. We live on Mackenzie Road, 1 kilometer east of the highway, kind of right where Leon, if you know where Leon's furniture is, you go 1 kilometer east of there. But if you want to find the place and you don't have a ride, there are people who are going to be here at 3:45, 3:30 to 3:45, who are going to be able to bring you here. We've got a number of people, some of them who don't come to church, but who come to the kitchen who want to come. So we need some people who can drive. So there are some people here who will say they'll be here at 3:30 or 3:45. Is there anyone here? There's one, there's Alvin, there's two, anyone else, Doug? I think we really need 3 or 4 or 5 cars. If you guys could be here at 3:30, and let's pick up some people and bring them along because it's a long ways to walk. And we really like to have everyone there. We're just going to have a great time of fellowship and have a barbecue, we'll have a fire, we'll do some singing. And if you don't know too many people here, here's a great way to get to know people. Just come on out and sit down and just start talking. Lawn chairs. Bring lawn games and lawn chairs, or lawn games with lawn chairs. If you know any lawn games with lawn chairs, all right. Well, the problem is last year people brought lawn chairs, but they took them back home again. So we wouldn't have to ask every year if you just leave them. Okay, I'm going to stop now. You guys want to come up? I'm going to pray and then... We just love God's word, so just listen. You know, God, you're here today for a reason. Yes, Chad. Prayer at 6 is it's transferred. We'll be praying at my place at 6, so it's just not going to be here. So, can I pray for you guys? Okay. Two stands.
We don't share well on some occasions.
Okay, we're going to pray for a blessing on God's word like we always do. So God, thank you that you speak. Thank you that you speak. And that you, so often you just say exactly what we need to hear. You know the things that are on our hearts. You know how we've been feeling. You know how we might be struggling. You know, maybe we're insecure. Maybe we are filled with shame. God, you know. So today we pray that what we hear, even though it's through the mouths of your servants, Darcy and Kirsten, it's really from the source of you and your word. Thank you for your word of truth. I pray for my friends here that you'll give them confidence and that they will speak clearly, that they won't be afraid, that they'll know they're alone, and that this is a good word because you're a good, good father. Amen? Amen.
Isn't God good?
You're not on yet.
Can someone, we're going to be doing a lot on the screen, so if someone could turn off just those lights would be good. Excellent. So don't you love it when God confirms things? Because Margaret didn't know what we were saying here, but she picked songs with orphans in them. Stan talks about it and everything, and we're actually going to talk a little bit about that today.
We're going to talk about the difference between an orphan mindset and the spirit or the mindset of a son or daughter. In the Bible, it talks about a spirit of sonship, and as ladies, we can take that to heart too, because the guys get called bride all the time. Like they're the bride of Christ. So today, we're sons. Okay? Are you with me?
So in John 14, 18 to 20, Jesus says, "No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live." So if Jesus is talking about not leaving us as orphans, you know, we can assume that you can live as an orphan, you know, and my personal belief is right back at the fall is when mankind actually became an orphan from the Lord. You know, we got separated from God and we fell into sin and our mindsets changed, things we do, the way we think. And Jesus here, you know, he sent the Holy Spirit to help us become sons and daughters again. And in Romans 8:14, which is, to find it in my small print here.
I told him he should have bigger print.
Yeah, it's hard to do in the Bible. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." You know, so we can be, and there's another scripture that talks about where we're cry Abba Father. Yeah. "So instead you receive God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father." So there's two sides. You had something else, or did you already say that? Okay, Chad, we'll go back to...
So this is like taking inventory. It's not about trying harder. It's to find our rest in God's love. But when we take an inventory, we can kind of see what is in our hearts. So we'll compare how an orphan thinks and how a son thinks. And if you find yourself that you're checking a lot of the sides of the orphan, don't be discouraged, because when the first time we heard this teaching, it's a long time ago now, I was probably 80-90% on the orphan side. So I'm standing here as a testimony that through the Holy Spirit, he and through God's love and through his body and through different things that God sends in your way, you can become sure and as a daughter or a son in the Father's love. Maybe not 100% yet, but we're definitely way over on that side.
A lot better. This clicker is supposed to work, but there we go. So each side will discuss each thing, and in the center, this is where we'll have, like, this is the concept of God, and then we'll compare both sides of how you actually see God on each side. Oh, went twice. Oh, well. So on the orphan side, you'd see God as a boss, a master, judge, cop in the sky, you know, that he's waiting there to catch you and punish you if you do something wrong. You can't really please him. You can only behave. You know, and that's how you would view it if you're strictly on the orphan side.
And if you're secure in the Father's love, then you see him as a loving and caring Father. Now, if you had a bad experience growing up with the Father, that might appeal to you about as much as hugging a porcupine. And I grew up without a father, so this concept, it wasn't that it was that I didn't like it, but it was like I had no idea, no frame of reference what that would look like.
So in your personal dependency, you have, on the orphan side, you're interdependent, self-reliant, or you could even be codependent. You know, for me, I grew up in a dysfunctional home, so I became very independent and self-reliant. You know, and that means you can't really trust people. You're selfish. You got a whole raft of things that go with it. You know, then that affects all these you'll see on the orphan side greatly affect how you interact with everybody else and how your life is, really. But God offers us a better way. Codependent is when you have to live with somebody else. You look to somebody else for all your, to have your needs met. Like husband and wife might do it, or a friend might do it. You know, people will latch on to you and because you're it for them.
It can also mean that you need to be needed. That's a classic type of codependency, that you need to be needed. So on the good side, you're interdependent. And the best way to explain that is exactly what the scripture talks about, us being as a body. And it's from Corinthians 12:12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. If the foot says, I am not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. I meant to say that for the good side, like I have pages of scriptures. So it's not like we've just come up with, or we took this from a teaching that we received ourselves. But it's not like it's just some guy writing those things on the good side. It's all straight out of the Word. Wanted to tell you that too, just so you know we're on good ground. And also with being interdependent, it's like it means that I don't hang on to him, but when I need to, like if I'm in a real rough time, yes, for a time it's appropriate to hang on when I can't stand on my own. But then the goal is to stand on my own so I, in turn, can help somebody else who can't stand on their own. So that's part of how the interdependence works. But it's also the biggest thing is that you acknowledge your need of God. And even Jesus himself said, I do nothing but what I see my Father doing, and I say nothing except from what I hear my Father saying. Now, if Jesus needed that, then we definitely need that too. We need to learn to hear what the Father wants us to do, so we're not just doing a bunch of stuff because somebody thinks we should it or because we're driven.
So in your foundation, in your theological foundation or your foundation for life, you know, if you're living as an orphan, you're going to live as a slave, maybe not to the law if you're unsaved, but you'll be judgmental, critical, legalistic, and a narrow outlook. You know, and if you're independent, self-reliant, hey, you're going to be critical and judgmental of people because nobody measures up to your standards because you're the one looking after yourself, so you measure everybody to your standards, even if you're not making your own standards. So, you know, and it also helps you to feel a little better about yourself because, hey, you know, they made a mistake or they did this, and we don't tend to look at, we may be doing the same things, but we just like to judge and be critical of others. It's coming. It's supposed to be. There it is.
So on the good side, you live by the law of love. James, the book of James tells us that the royal law of love is what we are to live by. We obviously, as a Christian, you live by the word of God. That's self-explanatory. But it's all grace-based. So it's we don't go take the Bible and hit somebody in the head with it. It's we love first. It's like, you know, in Corinthians 13, it says, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but did not love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Love is what it's the foundation of your theology when you have the heart of a son or a daughter.
Your motive behind walk with God is, if you're an orphan, it's performance, duty. You know, you try to earn God's favor. The belief is that it's what you do pleases God. It's not that God can just love you. You have to do something to earn it. And, you know, and that also goes into how you interact with the world. But for this one with God, you have to earn his love. You know, you're not worthy of being loved otherwise.
And as a beloved daughter of the Most High God, my motive behind my walk with God is my love in return. He loved me first, and I love him back. And we walk in God's pleasure and delight. There was a time in my life, I grew up in a very legalistic church, and the thought of God looking at me with pleasure and delight was as foreign as that I was from China. Like, it was just not in my realm of thinking. But that is right there in the Bible, I promise you, that he delights over us. He delights over you with singing, even. I think I'll have to read that verse. For the Lord your God is living among you. He's mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs.
Your source of approval and affirmation. You strive for praise, approval, and affirmation of man. So when you're missing that earthly father's affirmation, as most of us, you know, nowadays grow up, and even my day, grow up broken homes, we miss that. So we look for that approval and stuff from other places. You know, it leads to performance orientation, that we have to always be good and be best at what we do, because your worth is based on how well you perform.
And you live for the applause. And when you don't get the applause, you get depressed. That was the bad side. I just wanted to tell you that. I was just adding on.
Yeah, better clarify that.
Yes. So the daughter is blessed, accepted, and affirmed in God's love and grace.
The motive for service is you're driven by need for recognition, acceptance by God and man. I mean, there's people who get into ministry, go become a missionary and everything just for the need for recognition and acceptance. They think that's what you have to do. It's similar to the above. You're looking for that approval and appraisal.
So we serve because it flows out of an abiding love, an intimate relationship with the loving Father. We love because he first loved us. That's from 1 John 4:19. You feel free to interrupt. If there's something that it just isn't clear, feel free to interrupt too.
Or something you want to add. So next page, motive for personal purity. If you're on the orphan side, you must be holy to earn God's favor. You know, It's again earning acceptance. You got to strive for it. You know, shame and guilt multiplied when you fail. You know, the shame and guilt keeps you from God, because then you think you're not worthy to go there. You know, you have a sin, that's the time you should run to God. You know, ask forgiveness, you know, get help, but we tend to pull away because then we don't feel worthy of it, so God certainly won't want to talk to us for now, but 2 weeks later, you know, he will again. You know, and he's again goes back to that top one, that sky and the cop in the sky there waiting for you to fail. There you go.
And the daughter and the son desire to walk in holiness. It's not, I must be holy, I desire it, because that without it, it affects my intimacy with the Father, with the Lord. It's no different than in any other relationship. For us to have a healthy relationship, there can't be anything between us. There can't be any junk between us for us to have a good communication and a good relationship. No different with the Lord. So it's your desire. It's not something from external coming at you that you have to be holy. And Jesus is the one that sanctifies. There's oodles of scripture talking about how he's the one that makes us holy. We can't do that in our own, and we know that. But sometimes we seem to try anyway.
So your self-image and personal identity is, you must be holy. No, sorry. Feels like a slave or servant, a second-class citizen, unaccepted, not wanted, not at home. This is fairly common, because then you never feel like you fit in. You feel like you're outside the group. You know, you're looking in all the time, and it's very hard to fit in when you're thinking like the orphan, because that's your mentality, and you actually live that.
And it's actually possible to live as an orphan even though you've grown up in the church. Well, I'm a classic example. I grew up in the church. I never smoked a cigarette. You know, I never did anything. Well, you know, I wasn't perfect. I'm not saying that.
That's good.
I was actually very judgmental. But I was actually, I knew the word. I had been to church 3 times a week for I don't know how many years. But I lived as an orphan. My heart had the heart of an orphan. And it's I wanted to read, most of you are familiar with the story about the prodigal son. He's the young son who asked his father for his inheritance early, took off and blew all the money, and finds himself in a very miserable place. And he comes back home to his father, and his father is standing there with his arms wide open welcoming him home. That's a wonderful story, but that's not the part that I want to emphasize. I want to talk about this son who was home all the time, the older brother, because he was angry. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, "All these years I have slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do." Can you hear the violins in the background? "And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf." His father said to him, "Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours." So, this son had everything available to him, and he lived like a slave. And sometimes, sadly enough, that's how many Christians live. I lived like that for so many, many years. I couldn't believe that what God had, I could believe that he had it for others, but I couldn't believe that it was there for me. So the opposite, obviously, here is to feel like a son and daughter, loved, affirmed, accepted, and valued by God.
And your source of comfort, this gets a lot of people, and I'm sure a lot here, because then we go to seek counterfeit affections, addictions, compulsions, escapes, busyness, religious activity. you know, other than religious activity, I was not raised in a Christian home, so I did all of those and added in adrenaline junk leak, because that pushing the limits and taking risks, you know, made me feel alive and gave me temporary satisfaction. So I did a lot of crazy things because, you know, that what it does to you. You know, all I did was work, party, and play. That's all I lived for. That's all I knew for.
And the son and daughters seek comfort in God's love and presence through worship and rest in Him, not frantic activity, not frantic anything, and obviously feeding on the Word. You know what? If you want them,
we'll give it to you.
We'll give you copies.
Just tell us after. We'll bring them next week.
It's more important that you listen and take this to heart today than make it a head thing.
Give us your email. Peer relationships. How you get along with everyone else? If you're an orphan, competition, while that can be good and healthy in ways, it can also, if you're always competing against somebody else, that's not a good thing. Rivalry, bullying, manipulation, you know, get people to try and do what you want or what you think they should do. Jealousy towards others, success, and happy when others fail, because that may make you feel good again because somebody else failed. You know, it's a pretty vicious cycle when you start looking at the orphan side of it.
And the son walks in humility and works towards unity, values others, and rejoices in their blessings and successes. A friend of mine said the other day, broken people have sharp edges. And the interesting thing is that is obviously very true. Broken people have sharp edges. The interesting part is that you rarely see your own sharp edges. You just see the sharp edges of everybody else. And that's, again, when the love of the Lord can heal us and our brokenness is healed. That's when we can walk in humility. That's when we can value others. And that's when we can be happy for other people's success.
Mm-hmm. Handling others' faults. Kind of touched on that earlier when you're judgmental, accusations, exposure. You want to make oneself look good by making others bad or see them fail. Most of you have probably known people like that. They can be really annoying. Especially, you know, they go to any lengths, even at work, to take credit for stuff they didn't even do. You know, this is a drive by their insecurity in who they are, because, you know, they're not secure in who they are, so they're trying to steal other people's praise and glory.
Love covers sin, and this son and daughter works for restoration of the wayward, and they minister with love, humility, and gentleness. It says in Colossians 3:12, since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's fault and forgive anyone who offends you.
This is going to get a lot of people here. View of authority figures. See them as controlling, distrustful, resentful, and unsubmissive. You actually get rebellious. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. You have no respect for authority. Rules are made to be broken attitude. And I was there.
Guess why you sound so comfortable with that?
Yeah. I bent and broke and distorted most rules because I viewed them as a challenge. You know, and I figured out only the weak masses follow them, you know. But that means I had to learn the hard way that some of those rules are there for a reason, you know. But when you're stubborn and living in this life, you don't see that till it's too late.
The funny part, this has got nothing to do with our lesson. The funny part is he was like the real daredevil, whatever. And I was the one that followed all the rules, never dared.
Total opposites, yeah.
Guess how much fun we had when we got together. So that was the authority. So the Bible speaks very clearly about being respectful, submissive, and honoring to leaders, and to see them as ministers for our good. Now, there are leaders who are orphans, and they are not leading in a healthy manner. So we're not saying you should submit to just anything and anybody. But there is a very clear admonition in the Bible to submit to healthy leadership. Jesus modeled what leadership is supposed to look like when he washed the disciples' feet. He was a leader, but he was a servant. Servant leadership is healthy leadership, just so you know.
Attitude towards admonition.
An admonition means counsel, advice, caution, or gentle reproof.
So you resent correction, instruction, the admonition, and you react defensively to anything. So throughout Proverbs, there's many scriptures talking about the fool and how he will not take correction or wisdom. And most of us who lived on that side, myself included, I used to be one of those. You know, when you're living in that orphan mindset, all of these traits we're talking about on that side, they intertwine. You know, and if you're fiercely into dependence, self-reliant, you know, you think you take instruction well? I didn't. If I accepted correction, that meant I must be wrong, you know, and you don't want to admit that. You know, and if you take instruction, if you want to accept that, that means you don't know it, so you don't want to admit that. So it's real catch-22 that you need to know this stuff, but you really can't admit it or don't want to because it might look bad on you. But, you know, because I really have liked figuring things out, I mean, but I couldn't ask people, so I had to work hard to learn things otherwise when I could have probably got a lot easier by, you know, accepting some instruction or studying things a little different. So I learned some things the hard way. You know, and it's, even when I started work, you know, a lot of people didn't want to even share things with you because they want to hold it. And, you know, even when I started realizing, well, I need to find things out, I was in a gas processing plant, which is pretty complex, and then I moved up quite quick, and they put me in a fractionation part where I'm making propanes, butanes, all those things. And the guys just train you, like, if this happens, do this, if this happens, do this, and you know, you could spend a whole night shift chasing this around, and I started figuring out, well, I got to figure out what's going on in all these towers. But I found out most of these guys didn't know. You know, they would learn by rote and put it down there. So I finally found a guy who could explain what's going on in these towers, and I'm, oh, so this is what's happening. And then I could figure out, well, it's not even the problem that they told me was. It's actually happening down here. That's a symptom. You know, so, hey, the world opens up a little more by opening your mind and finding out that kind of stuff, right? You know, and it's, even when you went on farther in life, you know, training people, living in an orphan side, a lot of times you don't want to share information because they might look better than you. Well, you know, I found out, you know, when I started actually training operators and everything else, that the better I can make them, the better my job. You know, if they're my cross shift especially, I would come back to work and things would be a mess and I'd have fixed all. Well, I started getting these guys training people to that, and not everybody liked it, but man, it makes your job easier. When I got into management, you know, and my whole philosophy even changed again, that I would tell the guys, you know, I don't care what I tell you. If you can, if I don't have all the facts or the knowledge and you can tell me that's wrong and what we should do, by all means do it. And a lot of them have. I even one guy who told me afterwards, he says, we're on two-way radio because this was up north and everybody could hear in the company. So well, I didn't want to say it in the radio. I said, say it on the radio. I don't care. I'm way past that. You know, if don't do something because I don't have the full picture. You're out there. Doesn't bother me to be questioned anymore. You know, I can sit there. The guys can come to me and walk in my door anytime or pick up the phone. I manage 163 people now across Alberta and Saskatchewan. They can all phone me. Like, we're out to meetings. I go to the meetings with them once a month. They can question anything. You know, and that's a good place to get.
And that's the healing work of the Lord.
Oh, it is.
Because he was not like that when I met him 30 years ago. 31 years ago.
Yeah, and the fool's in Proverbs, because he won't take it. You know, he acts defensively. But yet the wise man in Proverbs, he ponders correction and instruction, and he learns to grow where he needs to. You know, not all the criticism and everything you get's valid, but you need to, you know, if somebody says something to you, and you need to evaluate it. Yes or no? If it's no, throw it out. Don't let it bother you. If it's yes, okay, what do I need to do with it? You know, because Proverbs 11:14 states, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. So, you know, you can learn from the people. You can seek counsel, and that's a good thing. You know, we learn from history. I used to hate history in school. I think, who cares about history? It's all done with. But as I get older, I'm looking, well, you see these cycles, things repeating, even in countries and everything. Like, the history is so valid. And so we can not only learn from people here now, but who went before us, because we all build on the previous generation. So there's a lot of wisdom and knowledge there that we need to capture. And when you're living as an orphan, you think that's bad.
So when you're secure in the Father's love, you receive correction as a blessing. You recognize that when faults are exposed, they can be dealt with. I used to work as an emergency nurse, and sometimes we'd get somebody come in by ambulance that was unconscious, and we had no idea. Somebody had found them, and we had no idea what was wrong. And so you do a head-to-toe assessment, and then you do blood tests, and you do all these kind of things. And so you do an assessment in order to treat. So there's the same thing. If somebody can help you see what's wrong in your life, or if you can identify that, yes, I operate like an orphan most of the time, then that's the first step to see, and then we can, then the Lord, of course, is the one that does the work, but then you can move towards healing.
Yes, it's very good.
We'll get there.
You know, Romans also talks about renewing your mind, you know, and that we need to renew our mind, because the people who study these things say 70 to 80% of any one of your thoughts are negative. And that's why, you know, the Bible tells us renew our mind. And in Philippians talks about thinking on good things, things of good report, things that are pure. Because after the fall, you know, our minds are negative. Yes. Yes, that's the consciousness you need and the attitude you need. Yes.
Lynn is saying that it's okay to receive input from others, in case you didn't hear what she was saying.
Expression of love and affirmation. You're guarded, demanding, manipulative, and conditional. All your interaction with people is mainly what can you get out of that relationship. It's not what, you know, you can give or an interchange. It's what's good for me.
And the secure son and daughter give love generously. They seek to bless and affirm others without expecting anything in return. How many times have I done things with the expectation that somebody should do something back? And that's not God's way. Unconditional love means you love without expecting anything in return. And that we can't do in our own strength. But the Holy Spirit can teach us, because that's how God loves us. He loves us unconditionally, and only through relationship with Him can we pass that kind of love on to others.
So your self-expression, or that what you give off, how other people perceive you. You know, you're closed, bound, rigid, and hidden. Like you're afraid to let people in, to let people know you. You know, you're so guarded that you're fearful that if somebody does know you, they won't like you. Because, you know, if they really knew you, they wouldn't accept you. You know, you're not perfect. You got this, you got that. So it's really harmful for relationships.
John 8:36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free."
Mm-hmm.
John 15:11, "I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy." And Hebrews 4:16, "Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God." And that's the key, that we run into His arms, especially when we're not doing well.
Your foundational motives.
Life in general.
Yes. Selfishly ambitious, strives for position, importance, and recognition. You know, this is driven out of that fear of the orphan. I must take care of myself. Nobody else will do it. You know, if I want recognition or I want anything, I have to do it. And, you know, going back to my story throughout the work life, and that is, hey, just do your job well and, you know, do it for the best things you do, and same with the life. All that comes to you. It's not as much work. It's way easier if you work, get on the other side.
And the heart of the son and daughter, you walk daily in God's unconditional love and you give it away freely to others. And I would like the scripture again where Jesus said he did only what he saw the Father doing and he said only what he heard the Father saying. If we all lived that way, our world would be a perfect place.
And the last one, trust for provision. If you're an orphan, you must fight and work hard for everything. You have a spirit of poverty. There's never enough. You don't have enough to give away. You can't help people. You know, there's no one there for you. You're alone and must take care of yourself. That becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because that's what you're doing.
So the son knows God as a generous provider and he lives a grateful lifestyle. I think I want to read those verses about that. How are we for time?
Go ahead.
Okay. Psalm 34:10. Even strong lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. The word trust is so important here because when you live as an orphan, it's because your basic trust was never established. Something happened somewhere along the line when you were very young that ruined that place that we're supposed to be in as a young child, that where you can depend on that your parents are caring for you well, that you have your food and you have your clothes and you have your house, and but also more so importantly on an emotional level. If they were not able to treat you the way God would like them to treat you, the way he meant for them to treat you. This is not, I'm interrupting myself. I know I do that all the time. But this is not about putting blame on our parents. It's just saying this is what happened. They were broken. They did the best they could with what they had. But it's to realize where the brokenness and the lack of trust was established. And it can look different for different people. But the beauty is that God has in his word promised that he will restore what the locusts have eaten. He can make something very beautiful even of the worst pain in your life. But what it takes is that we surrender it to him, that we don't hold on to it and kind of, this is who I am. But if we release it to him, he's able to heal, and we can have trust. And there was one more, was it? Philippians 4:19, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. And Hebrews 13:5, don't love money, be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. So the question is, how do you go from the left to the right? How does that look? And there's so many different ways, but the most important is that you ask the Holy Spirit. When Jesus talked about the verse that Darcy read in the beginning, when Jesus talked about not leaving us as orphans, that was in the context of leaving the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there to guide us into all truth. Mm-hmm. And so the first step is to say, Holy Spirit, show me where I am at and lead me towards a relationship with you where I truly believe that you love me and where I truly come to rest in your love. Also, it's more often important to have friends speaking into your lives. Or in my case, the beginning of my healing, I had to see a professional Christian counselor. And after that, for a number of years, I met with somebody who did prayer counseling. And that was how my healing came. It doesn't have to be that way. I just know that I needed it because I was so blind, totally blind to all the brokenness in my life. When you, as an orphan, you believe a bunch of lies, and that's an important thing to ask the Holy Spirit to show you what are the lies that I believe. And that's where the renewing of your mind comes in, where you start believing God's truth instead of all the negative garbage that you believed or I have believed up to this point. A good starting point can be also when you haven't had a father figure or a healthy father figure in your life to receive prayer and receive a father's blessing. So that's what we would like to offer today, that if you feel like you have never been blessed as a human being, as a son, as a daughter from your earthly father,
or mother,
way back, God has really used Darcy to pray those kind of prayers over people. So, and we've also asked him and Barb to help us, and Stan and Crystal, and you just if that's something that you would like, we would like to offer that for you today. And I just want you to know, like, don't be discouraged if you felt like you're too much on the left side in there, because there is hope. This is an invitation. This is an invitation. The Father wants to draw his kids to his heart. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're standing here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we can attest to it because we're both on the other side. So, and it's truly a life-changing when you embrace this and start asking God to start showing you where you live like this and how you need to change to the other side and renew your mind. Like, if you're filling your mind with all kinds of negative stuff and stuff that's shouldn't be there, well, start renewing it with other stuff and start changing how you think. You start noticing stuff you think or how you're reacting to people. You know, after you've leave that, maybe you've said something bad to someone because you reacted again, just go and say, God, what is that and how do I change that next time, you know? So that you don't just walk away, you know, if it's something that got you fuming and then you're, you know, kind of mad for a while and let it burn into you. Ask the Holy Spirit, show you why and what needs to change, because life's a whole lot better on the other side. It's a lot less stressful. You're a lot happier. You know, I tell you that from experience. So, you know, Holy Spirit's good. Jesus is good. God's good. They want the best for us. And he's given us a blueprint to get there. So
let's pray. Father, I thank you for your incredible love. And I thank you that we can stand here as testimonies to your transforming power. And Father, I pray that today there would be new beginnings in many people's hearts, a new beginning of walking towards you and experiencing your love to a deeper, at a deeper level and to a greater extent. Holy Spirit, come and minister even now. Speak tenderly to your children. We love you so much, and we thank you, and we praise you. Amen. Pastor Sten, do you want to organize us? You're good at that.
Great teaching, and important teaching. I think one of the things that, if you can just indulge me here for a couple of minutes, one of the things that we don't understand is how important the blessing is that we need to receive from our mom and our dad. And there's a lot of us here that you never got it. You never got that blessing. In the Old Testament especially, we read about that you know, the blessing would be passed down from father to son and then to the next son. And how important it was that the father would actually lay his hands, you know, on his son and he would bless him. He would say the words, I bless you. I keep you, you know. I just bless you. I want the Lord to bless you. And what we're hearing today is that sometimes we find ourselves with this orphan spirit. That, you know, you just feel that there's something empty. You never got that blessing. You never got that affirmation. And maybe there's some that are. You're not saying we're all messed up here, but there's some of us, and I'm one of you, I'm telling you. And let me just tell you a little bit about my story. I'm not going to go long into this. And I never tell this story. I don't think I've ever spoken about this in public, and some of you have heard me speak for a long time. But I never connected with my mom. Never. I never bonded to her, or maybe the other way it's better to say it the other way. She never bonded to me. And it affects me. It affects who I am and what I become. And I don't know exactly the reason why that happened in my life, except that I had an older brother who died when he was 9 months old. So his name was Richard Stanley. And he died when he was 9 months old. He had a kidney that ruptured, and my mom and dad lost him. And I was born almost 10 months later than that, and my mom and dad named me Stanley Richard. So I was named after him. I was literally a replacement child, and my mom was afraid. And you got to understand, this is coming from my perspective. This is the way I see it. My mom was afraid to have me. She was afraid I was going to die, afraid that she's going to have to go through the same thing all over again. And so for whatever reason, even though my mom bonded pretty well to my older brother and to my younger brother and to my sister, her and I just never had this connection with my mom, never. I don't remember to this day ever my mom reading with me or sitting on my mom's lap. I have no memory of any of that ever happening. My mom's never written me a letter ever in her life. I don't remember my mom ever praying for me. She was a nice lady, and we went to church, and she always fed me. I always had food and clothing, but I don't know if you can understand what I'm saying. I have felt like an orphan. I felt like I've never had that blessing from her. You know, a couple weeks ago, we had Mother's Day. I walked out of here, and we drove away, and I was just mad. I was mad because I don't miss my mom. And you guys do. A lot of you do. You talked about your mom, and you missed your mom. And I don't miss my mom. My mom's been dead for 4 years. I just don't feel like I have that bonding. I don't have that connection with her. And I don't think that's her fault. I'm not blaming her. I think it's because of the stuff that happened in her life. It's because of the losses that she had. And I don't have an explanation, but all I know is that because this happened in my life, it's affected me. It's also put me in a place, sometimes it's left me vulnerable. And I'm learning more about that. That I realize now that because some of the things that happened to me earlier, it puts me in a place where certain things trigger, or certain things I might do that I might never wouldn't have done otherwise. But because I'm craving, you know, I'm feeling like an orphan. And sometimes I'm feeling I've got to perform. And you probably see that in me even now. I fight this whole thing. That I'm really a son that is loved. I don't need to be loved. I don't need to prove myself. I don't need to perform. But I fight with this. I've been fighting with this all my life. When I was a little boy, when I was 10 years old, I remember this distinctly, that I had a paper route, and I'd get up early in the morning, and I'd make a little bit of money. And honestly, every single time I made money and I put a little money in the bank, and I did this over and over and over again, not just once. When I got some money in the bank, I'd have $30, $40 in the bank. I'd go to the store and I'd buy a present for my mom and dad. Just hoping that they'd like it. And these big, ugly glass things were sitting on their coffee tables because I'd come home with them, you know. Here, this is for you, you know. I didn't know it at the time, you know. Now when I look back on it, I just see this little boy carrying this thing from wherever store I picked it up and saying, here, Mom and Dad, this is for your anniversary. But what I was really saying was, will you just love me? Just love me. I need you to love me because I'm feeling like I'm an orphan. I'm feeling like I can't, no matter what I do, no matter how good I am. And I tried to be good. I tried the be good thing. I did that. I'm still doing the be good thing. You can't be good enough. And I'm learning this. This is good teaching. And maybe it's only for me. I don't think that's true. But where you can't perform. If you think you're going to, by performance, you're going to make God happy, then you're an orphan. You don't need to perform. You don't need to be, you don't get into heaven by being obedient, no matter how good you think you know, you're one of the good kids. I was one of those good kids. Someone at the kitchen the other day, we were talking with some social workers, and we were talking about people who smoke dope. I've never smoked dope. I've never had a joint in my fingers. Not once. And she couldn't believe it. What? You've never had even a toke? No. You kidding? That's bad. That I know is bad. There's bad things, there's good things. I'm a good boy. And I could, you know, go on and on about that. And I'm not going to, but I just want you to understand that I get this. And some of you know what I'm talking about. We're on different roads. Some of us have taken different roads, but you end up, we're all end up at the same place today where we go, I need the blessing of God. I need a blessing of my father. Or maybe it's your mother. I need that from my mom today that says, you know, I love you, son. I love you for who you are. You can't prove yourself to me. You don't need to be better. I just love you because you're mine. And that should be all the reason. I love my sons because they're mine, because they're my sons. And that's what God says. I love you because you are mine. You don't need to prove it. And nothing that you've ever done can separate me from you. Nothing. I'm going to keep loving you. I know in my life that, and this is sort of the quick story, but all that stuff, all those years growing up, has affected who I am today. Some of it's been really good. Coming out of that, some of those hard things have been really important in my life. Some of it has been really hard and has shaped me, and there's brokenness that I continually need to fight against. There's this old nature that I got to keep working, that old orphan spirit. I have to keep back to the Holy Spirit. I did not receive the Holy Spirit until I was about 30 years old. I would have told you I was a Christian, but my first hope at overcoming any of the things we're talking about is when I received the Holy Spirit. Thank God for that. It changed my life and started to, you know, that I'm no longer an orphan, because no matter what my mom and dad did or no matter what I did throughout my life, I have the Holy Spirit living in me. I am not alone. I am not alone. Amen. So, Mark, you want to just come on the piano? Here's what the plan is now, is if you're feeling today that you just need a blessing, and it's the blessing was always so simple in the Old Testament too. It wasn't some big, long, elaborate form you had to fill out and pass a certain test. It was just a father passing a blessing on to his daughter and saying, I love you. You are so, look at me. You are so precious to me. I love you with my heart. You're my daughter. I'm proud of you. You are precious and special. You're doing great things. And I want you to continue on. It's just God looking you in the eye, Wanda, and saying, atta girl. Atta girl. Right? Atta girl. Keep it up. Don't quit. It's just God saying today, I really love you. Some of us didn't get that when we were just growing up. One of the things that we can do now, why don't you guys come on up here too? We're just going to ask you to come on up. And I think we're going to just do one prayer for anyone who wants to come up. We're going to all stand together. And there's six of us. Actually, you know what? I really feel there should be just five of them. I want to receive this today. So Crystal, you come up. And anyone that wants to stand with me saying, you know, I need the Father's blessing, or I need my mother's blessing today. I need this for wholeness. I need this for peace. I need this just to be reminded that I'm standing in good ground and that my father or my mother loves me. I'm just going to ask you to join me. We're going to receive this today. So come on up. Yeah.
I just felt the Holy Spirit just in adding to what Darcy and Kirsten have presented. It's really excellent. And I would just like to, if anybody here has had, you know, struggles with a relationship with a father, and I'm going to ask my wife to do the same thing, I'd like to repent on behalf of fathers who weren't able to give you a blessing, where they weren't able to deal with maybe their addictions, where they had anger maybe towards their spouse, towards you as children, where they failed, where they made promises and they didn't keep them. I repent on behalf of those fathers who weren't able to give you what you needed. Oftentimes, there's many different places in life where this happens. One of them is at conception. Not all mothers were able to be joyful they weren't always able to be excited when they conceived because there were different circumstances. Some of them lost children before you were born. Some of them may have been ill. There's all kinds of reasons why a mother or a father wasn't able to give you a blessing at the time of your conception. Another time is when you were actually born. We're meant to have a father's and a mother's blessing when the time that we're actually born. Not all of us have received that. But I want to repent on behalf of fathers where fathers weren't able to bless that child when they came into the world. Another time is as a toddler, and another stage is puberty. Most of us probably here, when we went through puberty, never had a father or mother to really explain to us what was going on and helped us understand it in a godly way. So we had distorted images, and we had distorted understanding of our own sexuality. Another time that we often miss a blessing is when we were married, for those of us that were married, where it was our father on our, was a father or the mother on each side. Were they able to bless our marriage, or were they not happy with it? So I'm here to stand on behalf of a father that wasn't able to bless my son's or my daughter's marriage. And I just ask Barb on behalf of mothers to stand in and repent for the same thing. I'm just saying this because that might help connect with an area where you felt you missed out. And God wants you to know that even though our mothers and fathers may have failed, that is not the God that we serve. That's not His heart. And that wasn't His hope or plan for us. But He's in the business of restoration.
Yes, I just want to say to all of you, as a mother, that I am so sorry for the times that I didn't hold you and embrace you and tell you that you were so special to me, or that I didn't have the time because I was so busy doing other things and I avoided you and I didn't really listen to you when you came to me. And you looked at me and you said, "Mom, I want to talk." I'm so sorry for those moments that I missed with my son or my daughter. And I also want to say sorry that I didn't come to your activities when you were either performing or running or doing something that was special to you, and I just ignored it and didn't come alongside you and support you. I'm sorry for those times. And I'm sorry, as your mother, I'm sorry for all the times that you needed me and I wasn't there for you. I am so sorry. And I pray in Jesus' name that you will go to your Heavenly Father and the holes in your heart that we all have, that I have, and you have, that we will fill those holes with the love of God that is unconditional and never changes and stays always the same and is a well. It never runs dry. Help us, God, go to you. Help us, Father, receive that love and the smiles and the touch from you, Father, where our parents failed us, in Jesus' name.
Just pray with you individually, and feel free to go if you need to go, but go in the love of the Father. He thinks you're adorable and He delights in you.